For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Cooper McKim. Three women living in Columbia and Lexington are still not home following the devastating flood in October of 2015. 18 months later, Stacy Massard, Carmen Bowie, and Suzanne Snyder continue to cope with the aftermath of losing their homes. The trio didn't know each other before the flood, but were bonded together because of it. Snyder and Massard met through their work at Palmetto Health. When they learned of their common experience, the two began sending each other stories about the flood, information about public meetings or grants, and Massard met Bowie through one of those public gatherings for flood victims. They started commiserating about the frustration of dealing with FEMA, local government officials, or friends who just don't understand their pain. Bowie is a red-haired woman who works with a local heating and air company. Her home was flooded not just with rainwater, but with raw sewage. She lost everything inside, yet still has to pay for the house on top of her other bills. Bowie has also had to move around, look for funding, and get help surviving. After more than a year of this, she says she's exhausted.
So I've been paying mortgage and rent, and I'm out. I'm out of money, and I'm out of time. Talking earlier, we have no idea what we're going to do next. Mm-hmm. You know, while we're waiting on possible funds, we don't know if, when, what, and we're still waiting.
Massard echoes her frustration. She lived in a trailer home in Lexington when a fallen tree crashed into her roof, allowing rain to pour into her home. She's had to move around a lot with her son, and has finally ended up living somewhere over an hour away from where she works, somewhere she does not consider home.
It's a trailer house. It's nice. It's okay. It's got things in it, but I deal with that. Bugs.
Me too.
But all three women agree the pain goes beyond frustration with bureaucracy. It's the daily pain and memory of the flood that hurts. Massard says she's had anxiety and depression ever since the flood. Bowie says just a change in the season can trigger her. She sometimes looks for things she lost in the storm, like a card from her sister who recently passed away.
I thought I knew that a card that she had sent. I spent an entire day. I don't know why I thought it was there.
Massard's coworker, Snyder, says it's been so important to have friends who understand the struggle of not being home. Her house filled with 4 feet of water. She does plan on moving back in soon, but says she's still in the middle of recovery.
18 months later, you know, it's still going on, and people are shocked.
3 months after the storm hit, Snyder remembers neighbors asking her parents if she was back home yet. That was right about when Snyder's home was being demolished.
You know, people don't get it unless they've been through it. I mean, you're right.
I think that we're the only ones who truly understand. I mean, your friends and your family, they think they do, but they have no idea. I know I'm not over the flood. I can't be over the flood until I'm home, wherever home may be.
Home, they all agree, is the ultimate finish line. The word carries weight when they say it, uttered with an air of reverence.
Home, not my house.
A home.
A home. And I will know it when I walk in the door.
Massard and Bowie are happy for Snyder, who will finally get her home back soon, even though they haven't quite taken that step yet. They want to share in her success.
It's almost like you are a part of that, you know, sharing that joy. Because some people could be bitter, but I'm not bitter about anything. I'm just so happy and that I've seen someone recover from this.
Now you know it's truly possible.
Yes, there is hope.
For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Cooper McKim.